This is for all the girls who grew up without strong geek role models to help them discover their geek dreams.
For everyone who's ever been quizzed about their video game knowledge because girls don't play games.
Geek Caring is working to bring female identifying geeks into their prime to be the role models, dreams, and voices.
About to show these boys how we do it.
Higher, further, faster, baby.
It's not about deserve.
I'm not an owl!
A girl has no name. There is something supernatural at work here.
It's about what you believe.
Did I step on your mom?
Wingardium Leviosa.
Now on,
you do as I tell you.
May the odds be ever in your favor.
Are you ready for this?
Are you ready for this?
Ready for this?
Welcome to Geek Herring, a critical geek culture podcast where we talk the good and the bad parts of being a chick in a male-dominated environment. Hi, my name's Amanda, and with me today is my awesome, hilarious, and smashing the patriarchy co-host, Monica. Hi, how's it going?
It's going well. I'm smashing the patriarchy with my t-shirt, obviously, which I got from you. Fuck yeah, I am. Together with a cross stitch that I got from Liz for a while ago, where it also says fuck the patriarchy. So we're doing that, basically.
Love it.
How are you doing?
I'm doing okay. I currently have a cat putting her paws into my butt. But I'll live. You know, it's not the worst thing. It's not the worst situation that I could be in right now.
Some people are probably into that, I suppose. So
that's true.
Yeah.
It's my own fault for allowing her to be in here while recording, but she's just so cute. How can you say no?
I mean, I get that. I let my 9-kilo heavy, because we weighed him the other day with us. I mean, it's probably like borderline animal abuse. It's not. It's really not. But we put in his what is it called?
Harness?
Not his collar. His harness on. And then we had like this luggage weighing thingy. And then we kind of weighed him like that. And he has 9 kilos now.
That's amazing.
It was a bit funniest. He didn't find it too funny, but he lived for this minute, not even for these 10 seconds that I had him on that luggage weighing thingy. It was pretty funny, actually. Roli was like the weirdo.
Weigh it with like him in your arms and then hit like you without him in your arms and take the difference.
But for that situation, I would have to step on the scale first, which is not happening. Number one, it's not happening. The weirdo did that occasionally. I don't know why he didn't do it this time. I think he thinks it's not like, maybe for the lols. And I think he thinks it's not accurate enough. So we used that one instead. He just like 2 days ago or something, he just came up and he was like, do we have a luggage weighing thing? And then it took its path and that's how it ended. I mean, he's fine. It's not, there's nothing going on. Roli was more panicked about this entire situation than the dog was, I think. Because if he would have just been relaxed and like gave me these 10 seconds, everything would have been fine. But he was like, no, don't do this. Don't do this. And take slow. And I'm like, come on, we do this now. And well, but yeah, 9 kilos. And he's stepping all over me all the time with his tiny paws. And he's really heavy.
Yeah.
And it's painful. So I get it.
Yeah.
What the things we endure for our pets is just, they are too cute. That's their problem.
Exactly. Like, how do you say no? You can't. You cannot say no.
No, I cannot say no. No.
No.
Get it.
So I'm glad that we got to have some happy discussion, because this episode, at least the first two articles, are a bit tough. But let's just introduce here, because it's Geek Girl in the News. But yes, we're starting out with some articles that we need to provide a content warning for. They are articles about sexual abuse and assault allegations, and it might be a bit triggering for some people. So we will write in the show notes what time these two articles, what time we're finished speaking about them, so that you can fast forward through the episode.
Yes.
Our first article is a news story that actually released, like, it first became a thing just at the very end of January. This news broke, but we decided that it was a bit heavy for the first month of the year, so we were going to cover it more in depth today on Geek Girl in the News for February. And this is about all of the women who Marilyn Manson has assaulted over the years, because there has been a lot.
There has been a lot. It came out initially because Rachel Wood, the actress, started to speak out together with four other women against Manson on social media. And obviously when people like group together like this and start to work together in a way, then there are more people feel brave enough to come out with more with what happened to them as well. And unfortunately, there are a lot more than the four, the five together with Evan, Rachel.
Yeah, at current count, it looks like we're at 17 women who have come forward with allegations against Marilyn Manson, otherwise known as Brian Warner, because Marilyn Manson's a stage name. And these abuses aren't just like sexual assault. They're also like psychological abuse and domestic violence and physical abuse. Like there's every type of abuse possible. It sounds like Marilyn Manson has committed against these 17 women that have come forward.
Evan Rachel Wood, the actress, was 18 when when they met in 2006, while Manson was 36 at the time. And basically she accused Manson of grooming her already when she was a teenager, and then abusing her for several years, and they dated on and off until July 2010.
She said, "I was brainwashed and manipulated into submission. I am done living in fear of retaliation, slander, or blackmail. I am here to expose this dangerous man and call out the many industries that have enabled him before he ruins any more lives." And I'd like to reference another article where Amber Heard speaks out in support of Evan Rachel Wood about this. And she explains how Marilyn Manson actually said in a 2009 interview with Spin, during a time when him and Evan Rachel Wood had briefly broken up, that he had once called her 158 times in a single day, and that he regularly fantasizes about smashing her skull in with a sledgehammer. And 12 years ago, this was just laughed at. Like, I don't understand why this wasn't causing bigger issues like back in 2009. You know, when these words actually came out of his mouth himself, like he said these things and nothing was done about it then.
I think people don't take it seriously. In general, people often just don't fucking take it seriously when like things like that happen. Like, yeah. And Gemma says, because violence against women has always been minimized. And also because Marilyn Manson is like this, has this stage persona of whatever it is that he's doing. Like, nobody is surprised when Manson says things like this in a weird way, because
it has that shock value as well.
Yeah, exactly. Like, because
is it true or is it just shock? You know, that's probably what it was more than anything.
Yeah.
And also, probably, of course, because violence against women is minimized, like Gemma says. Yeah. But it's definitely the combination with, like you say, the persona that he has, which is shock, and how far can he push things?
Yeah, for sure. And Evan Rachel came out with that information on Instagram, and then obviously a few other people followed after that as well.
The one that really shocked me was Ashley Walters, who worked for Marilyn Manson as a personal assistant, because she describes that in the beginning, he'd put her on a pedestal and would tell her I was saving his life. But he was really skilled at gaslighting his inner circle. He would dictate the parameters of our reality. Horrifying, deranged behavior and insane scenarios became normalized. It felt like I was his property because he would offer me up for sexual encounters to please potential collaborators or friends. He isolated me from friends and family. He frequently became violent, throwing items, including glass plates and heavy objects.
It is they are working together super closely as a personal assistant for a musician like that, of that size at the time. Like, I can imagine that they must have spent so much time together, and it's like a time that he used a lot to gaslight her like that in the like most horrible sense ever, basically. Like, I mean, that's what gaslighting is, making people believe things that are not real and whatever they feel is not valid and not real and just something that they make up in their head. So he creates that reality. He's also, because she's her she's his assistant, he is paying her, so that gives another different power dynamic. All of that in a combination is just a power dynamic that is like unreal for one person to even like cope with and get out of as well at the same time.
Sarah McNeely, who was a partner to Marilyn Manson for a time, said that she was locked in rooms when she was bad and sometimes forced to listen to him entertaining other women. Just reading through these accounts,
I mean, the list goes on and on and on and on. Like in the article that we have, there are 15 examples of what people have experienced. And I think it's, I mean, the two that we read or the three that we read are already enough. It's not that, like, we need to know all of these names. So it's Sarah McNeely, as you said, Scarlett Capella, was a model and was abused by him, Gabriella Accarino, an artist, Ashley Lindsay Morgan, also an actor and a model, Tori Lynn, she owns a vintage clothing and jewelry shop, Chloe Black is a black musician, Louis K. Bell, an artist and a writer, Love Bailey is a queer fashion stylist. Did I skip one now? Charlene Yee is also an actor. Ellie Rosewell, a lead singer of the band Wolf Alice. Saint Sasha, a model and makeup artist. Esme Bianco is best known for her role as Ross in Game of Thrones. I don't remember who that was.
She was in the first season. I believe she was a prostitute in Winterfell.
Oh, okay. Annie Abrams is a publicist. Bianca Elaine is also an actor. And in the beginning, it also said that he, in the beginning of the article, it says that he also sexually assaulted his security guards, who filed a lawsuit as well. They are not named in the article.
Wow, he sexually assaulted them at concerts by rubbing his crotch on their heads without consent? Jeez.
Yeah. The charges were dismissed in one case and Manson reached a private settlement in the other. So, also the big question of how the fuck is that always, like, I don't know. It's just so many people so often, and it takes people so long to come out with that because of the stigma that is involved in around all of this, right? Like, victims don't have enough support to come out with their stories, and other people suffer because of the shame and the stigma we put on women and everybody, because again, also the two male security guards, it's not always not only women, but of course, like, most of the time, mostly women who suffer from a lot of, like, sexual abuse and assault and all of that. And yeah, every time, like, it feels like we're walking around in circles with this all the time. Like, we have one scandal after another, and people are then just, oh my god, how can this happen in the industry? And it happens again, and it happens again, and it happens again. So I mean, yeah, I don't know. I don't know if it's to say at least it only took 10 years now, unlike Bill Cosby, where it took like 30 years, 40 years for people to come out. But we need to be better than this. We need to listen better, and we need to believe the victims and not shame them into silence, basically.
Yeah, well, I just want to say as well, Monica, that these allegations go back to 1995. Because that's when Bianca Elaine states that Manson forcibly kissed her when she was 16 years old and he was in his mid-20s. And then they had a relationship where he would routinely humiliate her.
Yeah. And so, like, it's not really getting any better.
No, but the difference is that we're talking about it now more publicly. People are calling out their abusers. And, you know, I think Hollywood is saying, on the whole, enough is enough. We're speaking out against this. It's not enough.
Yeah.
But at least, like, these conversations are finally being had. And unfortunately, we have a second one to talk about. And this one definitely much more connected to our beloved geek universe. because it is Joss Whedon, the man that we all used to love and love everything he produced, because the Whedonverse could do no wrong, except that it can do a lot wrong. So, go ahead.
Joss Whedon, I wish I knew which the first article.
Oh, I can talk, because it's not actually linked here. Charisma Carpenter, who played, oh my gosh, her name has just, Cordelia. It was just like.
Oh yeah, I knew something with something with C and was like, what was it again? couldn't.
Cordelia, she released a statement on Twitter just maybe 2 weeks ago, talking about the abuse that she received on the set of Buffy and Angel from Joss Whedon, to the point that she was humiliated. She was emotionally abused. She was fired just like days after she gave birth to her child. So like she had her employment rights, you know, you know, completely denied. And since speaking out, Amber Benson, who played Tara on Buffy, she also has come out saying that, you know, these abuses happened to me as well. Like I was abused on the set of Buffy. And yeah, there's been a lot of support for Charisma and Amber. And obviously, we're all probably a lot sadder to hear this news coming from somebody that we respected, that I respected quite a lot as an as like a director. Then like it's more shocking about Joss Whedon than like Marilyn Manson, because it's almost like the it's just like, oh my goodness, it's like this persona, like, okay, you can almost expect it coming from someone like Marilyn Manson, but Joss Whedon seems like such a great guy, and it's like, okay, well, if I have that opinion, so do so many other people, and it takes strong women to speak out against it.
It's difficult, like, more difficult. It's, like, there are so many things about this that are, like, number one, everything that Joss Whedon creates, it kind of resulted in this fandom once again, where he was put on that super pedestal, where it was like, he can do no wrong, because he created this feminist saga about this one girl and Buffy and everything, so it must be, everything must be great, because he's the one that is behind all of that. So that puts people in the city, but put him also a bit like Rowling, right? In the on this place of superiority, of you can't touch him because he's so great. And it just shows once again that people are just fucking people, and especially those who you put on these particular pedestals are the ones that are gonna tear the fucking shit down once again, because of the way everybody lets them treat people. Gemma says in chat that Whedon has been known to be an abuser for a while, and it kept circling in and out of the news. I hope it doesn't cycle away this time again. And it's as Gemma says, it's because of the things he has created, it like gets overlooked once again. And I do think there are way more, and especially in Hollywood, and especially in the entertainment industry, where it's so important how you look and what you do, and that it's so easy to threaten people with their success and their livelihood because of the way they look and because of what they do and what they do for you as a person, because you pull the strings. There is so much, once again, so much power involved in everything, that it's so easy for people who are in that power, like Joss Whedon, in the place of, in the spot of the director, or what exactly it is that he did, I don't know at the moment. But just to create the world around him based on the power that he got that he couldn't handle in a way. And yes, Tom and Chet says, celebrity worshipping makes me sick sometimes, especially when something like this comes out and people still defend him. Yes, 100%, absolutely. And abusers need to be held accountable, and that it comes up again and then goes away again. This just shows once again how much more we need to talk about this, how much more awareness we need to create, because it can't be like, it's just impossible that people, and I know that sometimes that working environments changed over the years, and that it went from something that is more authoritarian to something that is more democratic in a way, and that's all, but we are in 2021 now, and authority and authoritarian working styles don't work, and especially not when there is abusers involved, and there is like psychological warfare involved in a way. So And it has nothing to do with what they create. Like, it has everything to do with what they created, but also the way that we put them on a pedestal, we also can take them down again, and we need to take them down because in the end, it's a story, and people can create stories, and then it's about sometimes possibility more than anything else. That doesn't mean that they are the best person. They just were at the right time, they knew the right people and they had the right idea at the time. That doesn't mean that somebody else, a better human and a woman, a person of color, a queer person, couldn't have written a better story. Those were just the people in power at the time, and we need to tear those power structures down once and for all. So smash the fucking patriarchy.
Amen.
And it's a lot of the men also from the Buffy set came, spoke out about this as well, how even the working environment was horrendous there too. So it wasn't, and that's just always something where I'm like, that I don't get in this, is it because of the money and the power that Hollywood just can create situations where it's just horrible for people to work in? Like, you hear from so many series as well that they've produced where it's just like pressure and like psychological warfare in a way. And I'm like, is that what's going on always behind the scenes of the cheesy and stories that you watch on TV? Like, and is there no other way to do this? I don't know. It should be, and there needs to be, but
I totally agree. And I think that throughout the years, there's been a culture of abuse ingrained in Hollywood. Like, people just kind of expect it, that you work for shit, peanuts pay to get started, and you're going to be treated like shit. And if you've got like a lower rank, quote unquote rank on the show, you're going to be walked on, especially by the people who have more power in the show, and stars will automatically start treating you like shit because that's how they were treated when they're at the bottom. And it's just like this cycle of power and abuse that just is perpetuated until people start stepping up and saying enough is enough, we're not doing this anymore. And I think, like, I can't remember, we have a lot of articles about this, about the Joss Whedon abuse, but one of the stars said that he treated the Buffy set like a high school. Like, there was a hierarchy, and there was favoritism and punishment, like almost like detention. And yeah, just like quite a...
I mean, things like, I have the article in front of me where it's like, one of the staffers who worked closely with the actor, and the actor in question right there is Michelle Trachtenberg. No, Carpenter's. Hang on. From Carpenter, so that was Cordelia, basically. She said that the staffer who worked closely with her said that there was a very, very bad mean-spirited and verbal abuse. And sources also waded into allegations from Michelle Trachtenberg, who is...
Dawn.
Yep. That she and Whedon were not allowed in the same room together alone. Like, there was a lot of effort made around by those around Trachtenberg to ensure that the young actor was never alone with him. And as Gemma mentions, Hollywood is a combination of sex, power, and money, and that's where abuse thrives.
Yeah.
And Michelle Trachtenberg also posted, "While I'm proud to have my name associated with Buffy Summers, I don't want to be forever associated with the name Joss Whedon."
Sarah Michelle Gellar came forward with this statement.
Michelle Trachtenberg then from her Instagram account.
Then,
oh, she said Sarah it.
Michelle Gellar.
Okay. I'm more focused on raising my family and surviving a pandemic currently, so I will not be making any further statements at this time, but I stand with all the survivors of abuse and I'm proud of them for speaking out.
And followers are unable to comment on the story, but Michelle Trachtenberg reshared Sarah Michelle Gellar's statement saying, like, we know what he did behind the scenes. And she also said, "Thank you, Sarah Michelle Gellar, for saying this. I am brave enough now as a 35-year-old woman to repost this because this must be known as a teenager with his not appropriate behavior." Like Gemma said earlier, this knowledge of Joss Whedon being an abuser was known, and it kept cycling in and out of the news. I do hope that now that, you know, the entire cast of Buffy and the showrunners Marty Noxon spoke out saying that, like, she's validating their stories. And with all of these people speaking out, and Buffy being such a huge thing and, like, has such a cult following, like, I don't think that this can be taken away. Again, it's out there. There's too many people talking about it now, too many public figures talking about it now. So, and yeah, I don't think that it's possible to just ignore it anymore.
It's kind of so sad, you know, like, there, I know there are a lot of people coming out, like, supporting the claims and everything, but even when you read them in a way, it feels like sometimes it seems to take them so long still, like, it seems to be such a then there must be so much power involved still in this entire situation that people and actors are still not, actors and actresses both alike, are still not super comfortable with just with going out there and being like, yes, I support you 100%. Like, it always seems to, like, there is this vagueness about it. There is this, yes, I support you and I'm heartbroken and whatever, but I'm like, you're heartbroken, you've been there as well, like, why are you heartbroken now? That seems like such a weird thing to say in a moment where you're like, you must have experienced this as well. So that's just sometimes where it gives me this bit of, there must be so much still going on that people are just not, like, fully out there being like, I experienced this as well. This is what happened, and this was horrible, and tear down Joss Whedon, like, you know, it's just like still this fear of negative things that is attached to all of that, and it's like kind of like, it's so great. It's great that it came out once again. Yeah, Gemma says, it's still such an uphill battle. There is so much that gets muzzled before it reaches us. The layers of power in the industry are so complex. It's so hard to gain footing and so easy to lose it. Abusers know that and use it against people. Yeah. It's because it's always the people in power. It's like why Weinstein could do what he did for years, because he was the one in power and he knew who to contact and he knew who to not, like, he had no job after you've, like, didn't do what he wanted you to do, basically. Mm-hmm. It's just such a horrible fight that we still have to keep on fighting, and that the everybody there needs to keep on fighting. And it's not something that is only happening in Hollywood. It's obviously also something that is happening everywhere, and, like, could be your neighbor, could be your family, could be anyone. Like, people suffer through abuse and domestic violence and sexual violence all the time, and it's, they also need to be empowered to be able to get out of the situation and be able to get free from their abusers and talk about it. And yeah,
it's shit,
so we need to talk about it more.
We need to talk about it. Name your abusers if you feel safe to do so. Speak about it. We support you. We stand with victims.
Yep. Yeah, those were two hard topics for this month. I mean, yes, there are still a few not so happy topics, but
your sexual assault content warning is over.
Yeah, but moving on
to another happy topic. Talk about racism.
Maybe we should also content warn for racism. Here we go with the racism news. I don't know why this month is so heavy. It was so short February, but it's still
so much happened
again.
Okay, so this next article comes from, was submitted in our Discord channel by Tom from Through Extra Lives, our moderator, and it's an article entitled World of Warcraft's Community is Grappling with Allegations of Widespread Racism in its Top-End Raiding Guilds. I mean, as if we didn't already know that Warcraft is a very, very toxic and racist gaming platform full of very, very toxic and racist gamers. Now we have photographic evidence. Earlier, a couple weeks ago, it says earlier this week, and the article was written 6 days ago, so let's say mid-February, an image gallery containing 70 screenshots began circulating that showed 16 members of Raid Guild's Clout Gang and Distant Dollars Instant Dollars. Why did I say distant?
I mean, they're also distant, I suppose. Is an instant dollar ever distant?
Touche.
That's a philosophical question.
Mm-hmm. We've done this kind of podcast today, Monica. So the images came from those two guilds, so including private Discord servers and in-game chat, show members of the two guilds frequently using the N-word and making jokes about murdering black people, in addition to homophobic and sexist comments.
Those two are apparently the biggest guild in the WoW raiding scene, so they're both top tier raiding guilds and on the servers that they're at. And yeah, we have an article and screenshots are included in the article. There is a warning in the article itself when they come up, so you are warned there as well. And I don't even think we need to be like super specific about it. Like they're like very, very visual at the same time, using all the words that you clearly that they should never ever use ever. They came out on the subreddit and moderators initially deleted the posts, but it still came out and made around. And I would just like to maybe add that I don't even necessarily think that's something that's only going on in the WoW circles, though I know that there are, like, we have people in our community who have experienced, like, hardcore abuse as a woman in WoW just for, I don't know, being a woman or daring to play on WoW or not following the rules that WoW gamers ask from other gamers on how to play a fucking video game or whatever. I think there's generally this really, really dark side of gamers as well that is, like, ridiculously racist, sexist, homophobic, and just a pathetic bunch of lonely little humans who are sad and depressing and have nothing else to do with their lives and go out and, like, punch down when to make themselves feel better, and they only do that by harassing other people because of the color of their skin, the people that they sleep with, or the ability that they have and who they love and or what gender or sex that they have. And I don't think it's merely down to the WoW circle. It's something that we've experienced, like, recently with one game in another channel that we were playing at. We just locked in into a random lobby, and the first thing we heard was the N-word. So, and they didn't even know who they were playing with. It's just something that just generally shoots out of other people's asses sometimes, occasionally, and is just unacceptable, and it also just needs to fucking stop.
Yeah, I wholeheartedly agree with that. And I would like to, you know, just bring up the culture that does exist within, like, Warcraft specifically, from this article, where one commenter on Reddit said that they were sad that this is just now becoming news. Top North American guilds have been super racist and sexist and offensive for such a long time. I remember applying to those top 20 North American guilds, and they would ask questions like, "We are adults. You must be able to handle adult language, such as the N-word used in a casual way." And many raiders couldn't stream on Twitch because of how much open racism there was on Discord during raid times. Like,
there was just recently, who was it? It came up on my Twitter feed, and this where there are people outwardly racist on their own stream, and then they get called out that they're openly racist on their own fucking stream, and then they post this absolute non-apology where they kind of just defend themselves by saying it was all in the heat of the fucking moment. And as Gem also says, stories are not adult language. It has nothing to do whether you tell someone to fuck off once or whether you can you like discriminate against them with the words that you use for, like, for the people you're playing with or people that you're also not playing with. I'm just so fed up with the notion that people cannot turn their brain on for 2 fucking seconds because their emotions took fucking over. It's the same reason why I'm detesting the fact that people say that, I don't know, men can just do whatever they want, or men are so aggressive because of their hormones or whatever. It's like, we're living in the 21st century. We're all fucking Homo sapiens who are, like, already moved far enough away from being monkeys in a cave or whatever. And we have the ability to think, so, and nothing in our, like, there is no fucking excuse for me that anything, hormones or emotions, can just take over your ability to not be a fucking asshole. And that is just no excuse for me whatsoever. And it's just pathetic little not being responsible for your own actions. And I'm done with it, because you can decide what you do in your life. It's not everything with you that is all suddenly taking over you or whatever. So just skip that fucking excuse, because it's not an excuse. It's just you being super fucking pathetic.
A fucking man. And let us stop, and by us I mean let this gaming culture stop, like, grooming racist behavior and, like, actively recruiting racists, because it's disgusting. And, like, seeing that, for example, these guilds in question were actually, like, saying, like, we're racists, we use this violent language, and you need to be okay with it, and preferably participate in it if you want to be involved. Yeah.
Yes. Bullshit. Fucking bullshit. Fucking bullshit. I need to add the song here. Well,
I don't know what that song is, but I would like to hear it.
Did I never send you this song? It's the best song ever. It's going to play at my funeral. I already told my nephew I want it there.
Amazing. I need to hear it. Please send it to me. Alicia, I love you. I'm going to read your comment out loud because it's beautiful. Alicia in chat says, I wasn't a skilled or frequent gamer growing up, but I loved games and had such a bad view of gamers because of this behavior, what we're talking about with Warcraft. Actually, Geek Herring was my gateway to finally seeing and moving within a positive gaming community, and I love you all from it.
Aww.
I love you, Alicia. I'm so glad that you're here and that that's why we do this, is for that. Thank you.
We love your face, Alicia. Even though I can't win against you in PUBG, but it was so much.
Yeah.
Okay. Moving swiftly forward.
To more racism.
To more racism. Because the Hollywood Foreign Press, who gives us gives out, this is when my languages merge with each other and I just use a random German one in the middle of it.
As we do.
When Hollywood fucking press once again just cannot manage to have a few members within their 87 members who are black. Because if 87 members in the Hollywood Foreign Press and not a single one of them is black. And we're in 2020 once again. It feels like we have this fucking conversation every year. We have like the Oscar conversation about the Academy Awards. We have the global
the Golden Globes.
which is who
the Hollywood Foreign Press Association is. They do the Golden Globes. In case Monica wasn't clear on that.
Aren't they also who is doing the Academy Awards then?
Pass.
Isn't that also something?
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know. It's just I don't pay a lot of attention to like this side of Hollywood, and I probably should, because then I can talk about it more like more better.
It feels like there is always goes in fucking circles. Number one, also Gemma says we talk about everything being too white every 6 months and it's just so fucking annoying. Preach, yes. Preach. And then it's like people have the awards, then they happen, then they get called out on it, then the next time they are like super over, say they're like nominating every black person they have and whatever, which is great because everybody fucking deserves to be recognized for what they do, and especially black creators and black actors and black everything, because there's amazing things that's happening. And then that's like gets put into like people acknowledge that more the next time around. And then the next time they suddenly once again seem to forget that there are black people on this planet. And then we're back to square one once again. And like, what the fuck is that even?
It's bullshit. And it needs to change. Like it is such this cycle. It's like award nominations. Where are the black people? We need more black people. Okay, don't worry. We're going to do black people. Award nominations. Where are the black people? Oh, yeah, we need black people. We're going to get more black people. Award nominations. Where are the black people? And I'm like, okay, we're sick of this. Actually, like, have a diverse awards and award nominations members. Like, come on. It's not that hard.
What I don't get is, like, there are so many people, like, that are even there. It's always news, like, every time it's news, every time people speak out about it. And there are so many amazing creators already, like Ava DuVernay, who is, like, making the best, all the amazing documentaries and all the amazing series. And she's, like, out there and she's showing what black people can do and what's going on and all of that. And there is Ellen Pompeo, who is calling out all of this constantly all the time as a white person, that she knows she needs to step up and do this and demand a more diverse cast and demand everything be more diverse because she's in the position of power in the moment. And still people don't, like, don't do it, don't get it. It's just annoying. It's such a pain, honestly.
Yeah. And
so let's look out for it. The Oscar nominations are, like, or Oscars are probably happening soon. So we will see if there will be some changes, hopefully.
Hopefully. Just like, you know, all the time that this happens. But most of Hollywood is speaking out against this and saying, like, we need more representation. We need more diversity. And it's not just black actors and directors and producers. It's everyone. It's like white people and other people of color, like, saying there just needs to be more representation, we can do better.
Gemma says the problem is that we need to support black culture and non-white cultures from the ground up, but it's all based on money and white folks keeping money. Capitalism is inherently racist and we cannot achieve racial justice within it, and I'm dead set on that. Yes.
I mean, talking about capitalism is an entirely different podcast, and I'm here for it.
But yeah, it starts with everything, like, as Gemma says, at the foundations of everything, and and there needs to be funds made available, and not, money is always circulating in the place where money is already available, right? It's hardly ever gets into places where there is no money and then people can make money. Money is always around money, basically, and then just creates more money, but it's never trying to, hardly ever do people of power and people with money try to support people that are lacking of whatever it is and that they need, like power, visibility, money, everything. So that needs to change.
It does need to change. But we do have some kind of good news on the racism front. And that is that Star Wars are taking a stance against one of their actors who said some very offensive things and has been removed from the franchise.
Yes. So if you've watched The Mandalorian, you probably kind of fell in love with Cara Dune, who was like this badass warrior rebel woman who was just like just being a badass bitch there. And then until it turns out that she wasn't in real life. She just wasn't.
Yep.
Not only was she a Trump supporter.
Gina Carano is also a horrible piece of toxic garbage.
Yes.
She posted on social media that degraded people based on their cultural and religious identities. She inferred that being a Republican today is like being Jewish during the Holocaust. She shared a meme criticizing mask wearing during COVID. She's sharing false information about voter fraud. And Star Wars and Disney are like, bye girl, bye.
Bye girl, bye. I mean, honestly, I'm loving it that this, because Disney just like has every money in the world, right? They could just say fuck this and then still have things going on. But they didn't in this case. And I'm very glad for that they then just decided to, not employ her anymore.
Mm-hmm. And it's not just Disney and Lucasfilm. It is also her her talent agency, United Talent Agency, who have also dropped Gina Carano as a client. So I don't know. This is a glimmer of good news, I think, like that people are being held accountable for their actions, and that companies that we love are taking a stand and saying, like, no, we're not allowing this behavior. Whether it's been allowed in the past or not, it's not allowed anymore. And we're taking a stand against it.
I think those are like big companies like this could make like so many bigger steps. Like they could do so much more with all of the things they're doing. Like, they create like 90% of the entertainment that we consume every day. Like, if you look into Disney Plus right now, all the stuff that is there, it's, they either bought something and they owned like what, 90% of the entertainment industries now.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just really, on the one hand, it's like, yeah, great that you made this one step, but also it's also quite a pathetic step to fire only one human when you could just create something that is, has more impact than that, that has more impact, that that creates opportunity for Black people, for queer folks, for everything. You have one short movie about a gay couple on Disney Plus. Where is the rest? Like, give us more. There is one movie that Soul now is the next Pixar movie that is like has a Black cast, and that's still probably not super ideal in how it's portrayed and everything. So you can't do better than this, but thank God at least you throw the piece of shit out when it's
arising. Yeah, absolutely. So. Like, I'm not saying at all that they can't do better, no. Because we can all do better always, all the time. But I think that this very public firing of Gina Carano for being a piece of trash garbage is setting a precedent for other companies that, you know, it's not okay to employ people who are openly racist, openly, like, horrible people. Like, I don't want to go through everything that she said again, because I don't, but, like...
It just shows that your actions also have consequences, and I think mm-hmm. that is also important for people to know that it's not just, because it also sets a precedent in a way that is like everybody feels so, and that was so problematic when Trump was still president, because when the president is openly racist, it makes it so much easier for people in the public to be like, but when the president can say this, I can say this as well. Like, this is there is no taboo going on here. And when those are people of power, and like actors are also seen as people of power, and it's something that is like way beyond like normal people and beyond us normal folks in life. So it just shows that this is not okay. And if you're a racist, and if you're a piece of shit, and if you're like do so much crap that she's publicly doing, it has a consequence. Like, it's not like, but I posted this shit on Facebook and my boss fired me. No, it shows that yes, you cannot just be a dick and expect the people that employ you to still employ you. And that's also something that is the case for Hollywood in the case.
Mm-hmm. You'll be glad to know that we are finally out of content warning territory.
Woohoo!
And we saved the best for last, okay? Because we knew that this episode was trigger heavy and also heart heavy. So, drum roll please for our last two news stories that are delightful.
Good news that we're talking about is The Last of Us 2 and... Go ahead.
Yeah, no, that's what I was gonna say. We have starring actors for The Last of Us, which is coming to HBO. And I'm fucking excited.
Not only because we have... I mean, The Last of Us is a like video game, if you don't quite know, that has like... It had the second part, just came out last year. And it was like highly praised already before like The Last of Us. People just generally love The Last of Us. And The Last of Us 2 is like, on the one hand, super great for queer representation. On the other hand, really shit for queer representation. So it's like highly acclaimed, but also highly criticized. It was the first AAA game in a way where you had like a queer couple as the main characters, and it was just there was nothing to it besides they're gay was not super hyped or whatever. It was just a gay couple in a AAA video game, which was great. However, the trans representation in the game wasn't that great in comparison. So it like has this high of being like, yay, a gay couple, but also shit trans representation. However, since there is a video coming out, like a show coming out now, they cast the main actors and actresses.
Yes, we have our current favorite Pedro Pascal playing Joel, and Bella Ramsey, who you might know from Game of Thrones, where she played Lyanna Mormont, playing Ellie.
I was just so fucking confused for a second, because I know that there is the actor, that there is also the oh god, my brain. Yeah, the one Ramsay who's playing Ramsay in, and I was like, oh yeah, that's the station, but that's her actual name.
So yeah, that's her name.
That was like mainly good. Wow. Yeah. But yeah, those two are playing Joel and Ellie, and we are so here for it. Pedro Pascal is just, besides the Wonder Woman accident, which is just like absolute bullshit, he's just one of the, honestly, starting to become one of the my favorite actors of all time, like, of recent times, to be honest, mm-hmm. because not only is he, like, he played in Game of Thrones, I already forgot what his name was in there, he played in The Mandalorian, and he also played in Narcos, I think.
I haven't seen that one.
And he's just an amazing actor, and he's also like pro-LGBTQ rights all the way because he has a trans sister, and mm-hmm. he's like the most supportive one of all. Like, she said that he was the most like, his reactions were just so amazing and so perfect that we're like, yay, fuck this, and he's just the best. And yeah, I always loved Bella Ramsey in Game of Thrones because she was just such a badass bitch there, and I loved her.
Yeah, and she was also in season 2 of His Dark Materials, the BBC adaptation of the Philip Pullman series. So lots going on here, and I don't know, really, really excited about this. We don't have a release date yet, but it's coming. It's coming. It's been announced. It's coming up on HBO, and, you know, hopefully it's going to be good. I can't see it being not good with these two actors.
Yeah. I'm curious how they're pulling it, how they're going to pull it, to be honest. I don't know too much about the first part because I mainly just read through it about what is going on and what is happening in the first part. But I'm like, if it's The Walking Dead 2.0 or something, I'm not sure how much I enjoy it. But we will see, I suppose. A lot of zombies, a lot of things, but trusting in Pedro Pascal's skill to be, like, an amazing Joel. I can totally see that for him, honestly.
Mm-hmm. I agree. And in our final bit of delightful news, we're talking about my favorite person, and that's Henry Cavill.
Sorry, Tom.
Sorry, Tom. He knows. It's fine.
Yeah, Henry Cavill, our favorite, I don't even know what he's so many favorite boxes, to be honest. He's a favorite Witcher, he's a favorite Supermander, maybe not Amanda's that much, but he's like,
I don't know anything about that. He's our favorite geek, he's our favorite gamer, and he's our favorite bum. I say that because I have a picture of the Witcher's bum as my phone screen, basically. Anyways, he
others would have said he's a favorite butt cheek or whatever, butt chin or whatever. I don't know.
What, all of the things. He's just our favorite. He's delightful. And he's in a secret new project, which he posted on Instagram, where he's like, you know, getting hair and makeup done and reading a script. And this script is not clear, but of course the internet has gone sleuthing and used technology to make the words appear clearer on the script. And the internet has determined that it very well could be Mass Effect.
It very well could be Mass Effect. And that's, like, interesting news, especially because just very recently it came out that Mass Effect gets, like, a re-release or a remaster in a way. Like, not really super remaster. Like, they're improving things, but they're rolling it out again for people to buy. So it would be an interesting time for a TV series, to be honest, if they also already roll out the games for it.
Mm-hmm.
So
it was way back in 2010 that Legendary Pictures, who produced The Dark Knight and Spider-Man, acquired the film rights to Mass Effect. And, you know, maybe we're going to get a movie or a TV show.
The Dark Knight was one of the best Batman movies of all fucking time. Agreed. If they are making Mass Effect, I'm already in the air.
we've got a lot of speculation. I know. Could he be Commander Shepard? We can hope.
Unfortunately, they haven't played Mass Effect, so I don't know. I know that I don't know anything about the story. All I know is that there are two versions, So you can play, it can be a femme ship and you can be a male ship, basically. So that's kind of interesting for, because people don't know how that will play out in the end. But, I mean, Henry Cavill all the fucking way.
So, yeah, watch this space, because you better believe that we will be the first ones reporting if this is happening. Because, you know, the Henry Cavill fangirling is fucking real.
Yes, he just needs to. Honestly, all I want from him is that he builds me a PC. That's it. That's what I want. That's honestly, that swayed me. Everything else, I'm like, yeah, whatever. He's a nice witcher and he's a great superman. But honestly, building the PC, that's all I need from life. Literally, Swan. All I need from life. Yeah, I need like, I need this. I need a water spray in front of me too. Like,
I'll fan you down.
Henry Cavill. Thank you very much for fanning me down.
You're welcome.
So yeah,
there you go.
That's what we're waiting for. That's the last news of the day. And sorry it was so content heavy, but thank you very much for listening.
Yes,
and for being here.
Thanks for being here. If you made it all the way through to the end, you're a pro. Thank you. yeah, we would obviously love to hear your opinions on these news stories. You can find links to them all in the episode show notes. Which are available on your favorite podcatcher or on our website. So, thanks. We'll see you again next week for another amazing episode of Geek Herring.
If you like this episode of Geek Herring, why not leave us an iTunes review? You can also find us on social at Geek Herring and over on geekherring.com.